Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Vernal teenager Tommy Clark was recently hit and killed while walking along the side of the road. Police say the driver admits to texting at the time of the accident. Utah does have a law against texting and driving. It has been one of the toughest in the nation. We've all seen the public service announcements alerting us to the dangers of distracted driving. We'll ask you and our guests on today's Access Utah, what more can and should be done to prevent tragedies like this? Do we need progressively tougher penalties such as those enacted over the years with drunk driving? More awareness campaigns? We'll talk with University of Utah Professor David Strayer, who has studied distracted driving, Rob Reynolds, Executive Director of Focus Driven, who lost his daughter Katie to an accident involving a distracted driver, and UPR Vernal correspondent Andrea Stringham. We'll also be talking with State Senator Lyle Hilliard. The program follows the news.
Support for Access Utah comes from Crum Brothers Artisan Bread at 300 South and 300 West in Logan. Now open Monday through Saturday until 2, offering a changing menu of a specialty salad, French breakfast pastries with local seasonal fruits, and lunch sandwiches.
Welcome to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Vernal teenager Tommy Clark was recently hit and killed while walking alongside of the road, and police say the driver admits to texting at the time of the accident. Utah does have a law against texting and driving. In 2009, when it was instituted, it was considered one of the toughest in the nation. We've all seen the public service announcements alerting us to the dangers of distracted driving. We're going to be asking our guests and you on the program today what more can and should be done to prevent tragedies like this. And the number to call is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495, or email at upraccess@gmail.com, upraccess@gmail.com. Do we need progressively tougher penalties, such as those enacted over the years with drunk driving, more awareness campaigns? What can be done? We'll be talking with University of Utah Professor David Strayer, who has studied the scientific effects of distracted driving. We'll be talking with Rob Reynolds as well, Executive Director of Focus Driven. He lost his daughter, Katie, to an accident involving a distracted driver. And a little later in the program, we'll be bringing in State Senator Lyle Hilliard. We bring in now UPR Vernal correspondent Andrea Stringham. Andrea Stringham, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you taking some time. This happened over the Labor Day weekend. Still the community quite affected, I would imagine.
Yeah, the community came together last week, and they had a memorial for Tommy Clark. Tommy was the 15-year-old teenager that was struck and killed last weekend while he was walking down the road with his friend. The suspect, 28-year-old Jeff Bascom, told police that he was texting at the time and drifted off the side of the road. The road where Tommy and his friend were walking didn't have a sidewalk. It wasn't very well lit. He hit Tommy, threw Tommy about 40 feet off of the road. Tommy was life-flighted out to Salt Lake, and then the next day was taken off life support and died as a result of his injuries. The community is still pretty shaken up about it. There are grief counselors on hand at Vernal Junior High School, where he was a student. But this hits home to a lot of teenagers who think that they can text and drive and don't think that anything's going to happen to them, and now their eyes have been opened that, you know, this can have deadly consequences for anyone involved.
So Tom and his friend were walking alongside the road. There's not a whole lot of space alongside the road, no sidewalk, but they were off the road, right?
They were. I'm not sure exactly how far off of the road they were, but enough that he was thrown 40 feet further off of the road. He landed right next to a barbed wire fence that separates a ditch from a pasture.
Yeah, this hits home. Vernal's my hometown, and I know that road. It really brings it home for me, probably for everyone in the community there who drives that road frequently. So Mr. Bascom did admit to police he was texting at the time. I guess he just drifted a bit while he was texting?
Yeah, he told police that he was texting. He did surrender his cell phone to police that night, and right now Vernal City Police are just waiting on a search warrant so they can get the records of his phone to see what, if he was reading a text, if he was sending a text at that time. Bascom has quite a long history with driving offenses. He had one conviction for an alcohol-related reckless driving in 2008. He has over 10 speeding citations since 2003. With three of those, he was driving over 30 miles per hour over the posted speed limit. Police are still investigating this, and they aren't sure exactly how fast he was going at the time. But it doesn't matter how fast he was going. The texting and driving is ultimately what caused the death of this young teenager.
What time of day was this when this happened?
This was at 9 o'clock at night. So the road, like we were talking about, it doesn't have a sidewalk on the side that he was walking on. It does have a sidewalk on the opposite side of the road, not very well lit. So, you know, he couldn't really be seen all that well. But again, they haven't really released many details other than Tommy and his friend were walking down the road. Jeff Bascom admitted that he was texting, and then that ultimately led to his death. They're waiting for some more reports to come in before they hand the case over to the Uinta County Attorney's Office, and then they'll be reviewing it for possible criminal charges.
So some lessons here, even beyond distracted driving, just be very careful. Mr. Bascom, I guess, could face penalties under Utah's law against texting and driving.
Yeah, back in, 2009 is when the Utah State Legislature banned texting and driving. It's actually now a statute that is automobile homicide involving a handheld wireless communication device. If he is charged with that, and if it's found that he was driving negligently while he was on the phone, he could face up to 1 to 15 years in the Utah State Prison and a maximum of a $10,000 fine.
Mm-hmm. And I guess prosecutors are still reviewing possible charges?
They are. The Vernal City detectives have given them a preliminary report, but again, they're just waiting for some search warrants for his phone before they hand over the full case to the Uinta County Attorney's Office. They should have that into them by the end of the week, and a decision should be made early next week on what charges, if any, will be filed.
And we have heard the family has been making a few statements, right? What are they saying? I know at least one statement they made that they would like some tougher penalties for texting and driving.
Yeah, they just right now they're just trying to get with anybody that they can at the memorial. They were speaking about how they would like to see tougher punishments put into place for people who are texting and driving, and an accident occurs, a death occurs. They want to work with a highway patrol, getting some signs up, you know, just getting some more education out there. This summer in the Uinta Basin, the Tri-County Health Department has actually been sponsoring a campaign called Don't Drive Stupid, and they've been trying to get more awareness out there about, you know, buckle up, don't drive drunk, don't text and drive. So this is just another reminder, you know, be safe while you're driving. And they're just, I'm sure right now they're just mourning the loss of their son, but, you know, in a little bit they're going to be getting out there more and working with more agencies to try and get some more education out.
Finally, with you, Andrea, I've been reading a little bit about Tommy. There was a memorial service. It was all in purple. Apparently, Tommy had purple hair.
Yeah, he was quite an eccentric kid. You know, he liked dyeing his hair. He liked, you know, just being out there. He was probably one of the most friendly kids in the junior high, is what a lot of students have said about him. But yeah, his most recent hair color was purple. That's what he started the school year off with. And so a lot of his friends at the school dyed their hair purple. The memorial service that was held featured purple balloons, purple shirts, just as a way to remember him and his outgoing personality.
Hmm. Tragic. And I think there'll be a memorial service in Loveland, Colorado as well. He was from there originally,
I take it.
Andrew Stringham, UPR Vernal correspondent, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
And we're talking about the tragic case over the Labor Day weekend. Vernal teenager Tommy Clark was hit and killed while walking alongside the road. Police say the driver admits to texting at the time of the accident. We're asking you what can and should be done to prevent tragedies like this. And we bring in now David Strayer, University of Utah professor of psychology, and he's lead investigator on several studies involving distracted driving. Professor Strayer, welcome back to the program.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We also bring in Rob Reynolds, Executive Director of Focus Driven, an organization which seeks to eliminate cell phone use while driving. Mr. Reynolds, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be with you, Tom.
And this is a case of deja vu. I believe we were together in a similar program earlier this year. Tragic that,
yes, we were.
That we're back here with this case. Professor Strayer, I wonder, On your website, Applied Cognition Lab, very interesting studies here. You say our mission is to make our roads safer by reducing driver distraction, which has become an epidemic on our roadways, an epidemic.
That's true. In fact, actually, there have been two national summits held in Washington, D.C. that have addressed that very issue. We're seeing more and more people driving distracted. That kinds of things they're being distracted by are much more hazardous or dangerous than the old things that people used to do. I mean, listening to the radio or books on tape and things like that really don't increase the crash risk. But when you start talking on the phone, your impairment is at least as bad as driving while you're intoxicated with alcohol. If you're texting, it's twice as bad. So what's happening is distraction is becoming the new drunk driving of this decade. And basically, these kinds of cases should serve as a wake-up call that we need to try and do this, do something to stop basically innocent people from being harmed because of some, you know, relatively careless, kind of almost thoughtless act.
And I'm reading an article at Verlo Express here, the local newspaper there. Sheriff Jeff Merrill apparently had given a talk recently about texting and driving. That was a talk at a home football game, so he's trying to get to the teenagers there. And he told the students that it was not a matter of this is going to happen, only when. And the family says, the father of Tommy Clark says that our son was the when. Rob Reynolds, unfortunately, you do have experience in this area.
Yes, actually, I mean, Focus Driven has a lot of experience with it as well. I lost my own daughter to a distracted driver, and we represent all victims of cell phone distracted driving. And my heart goes out to the Clark family. I know personally how they feel, and also their need to speak out. And I think Dr. Strayer brings up an excellent point. Table stakes, our national risk tolerance for somebody who is impaired driving is four times. That's the 0.08 limit. If you're at 0.08 alcohol impairment, you're four times more likely to crash. And as he points out, you're also four times more likely to crash when you're talking on the phone, whether you're hands-free or handheld, it doesn't really matter. And we do a lot of talking about the subject, but we need to have more action. Mm-hmm. And I believe the Clark family is probably firmly in this as well. We really need to see action and stop talking about it because we know what the facts are.
In fact, the Clark family has proposed a law, Tommy's Law, for Utah. They want stiffer penalties. I guess you would join them in that call.
Well, impairment is impairment. I mean, we don't really have to rehash this. We've already been through this as a nation. And when we said 0.08 is our national risk tolerance, along with that came things like automatic license revocation and penalties that we said, you know, when a driver does this, it's their choice to drive impaired, and the results then are something that they also have to accept. And we're in the same situation here with this type of impairment. One type of impairment is sustained. When you're alcohol impaired, you have sustained impairment. When you're talking on a phone or you're manipulating your device, that is temporary impairment, but the impairment is still impairment. And so the consequences should be the same.
Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, in fact, in the intro, I'd put in a comparison to drunk driving. You've made that same comparison. It seems like we've made a reduction in drunk driving by steadily increasing the penalties and trying to get the word out, and it's sort of become a societal effort to put a stigma on this. Is that going to be the similar path that distracted driving is going to have to take?
Oh, I think so. I mean, when we look at a drunk driver, usually we think of somebody who is a male, probably in their mid-40s, and that person causes a crash and it kills somebody, and it's very easy for us to say, look, bad driver, that person should be punished. However, when somebody is using their phone and, they happen to veer off the road and cause a crash, or in this case, running somebody down, it's easy to say, boy, that's an accident, and, hey, we've all been there. 30 years ago, we used to say, let's have one for the road when talking about drunk driving. You know, somebody was already intoxicated. Let's have one for the road. And we've come so far in that issue. It amazes me that we're still looking at this issue and saying, well, everybody does it. We should feel complacency about it instead of the need to act. That's the wrong attitude to take.
We bring now Senator Lyle Hilliard, State Senator for Utah, represents the Cache Valley area, northern Utah. Senator Hilliard, welcome to the program.
Glad to be there, Tom.
And I believe you can only be with us for about 10 minutes. I want to throw out, just maybe starting with your general reaction to this tragic accident out in Bernal.
You know, when I read that, I feel some real sorrow for the families involved, even the driver. I mean, we do things that are stupid, but I think we really need to tag it more than stupid. It really is criminal. And so I just am thankful. I think the law that I helped pass has probably reduced those. I think there's more sensitivity about it. It's an education process, partly the penalty, partly the trauma when you see family members or friends killed by thoughtless driving like that, to make us all more aware that we really have a responsibility when we get behind a wheel of a car going 50, 60, 70 miles an hour. We can kill people, and we just really need to be paying more attention to what we're doing.
So this Utah's law was passed in 2009, I believe?
I believe it was. It was really kind of an interesting fight through the legislature. I didn't have much trouble getting it through the Senate. They had a real fight in the House, and so when the House bill came over very watered down, I basically put my bill in the House bill, and we got the House to concur with it. Mm-hmm. But we modeled it after a drunk driving provision. The one main difference is under a DUI, if your first offense, you lose your driver's license for 90 days. Under our bill, the court has the option of taking away a driver's license, but it's not automatic like it is with a DUI. But we made it on the same level of penalties. That was our thinking, I think, thanks to the research done at the University of Utah, and I think you've been talking to the professor who did that work. Mm-hmm. That became our model, and we modeled it after DUI.
And you believe this has reduced distracted driving?
I've been told by highway patrolmen that I visited with about it that it gives them more impetus to make arrests. There have been quite a few arrests. I know when we did the bill, everybody kind of joked, well, how are you going to prove people are texting? But they say they've been able to do it. And I think although we have tragically too many, just like we even today have tragically too many DUI deaths caused, I think from the information I'm getting from the highway patrol, they think it's made a difference.
This bill, does it include talking on the cell phone or only texting and driving?
You know, it's only texting. But again, we've made it clear. We had to come back, and some lawyer figured out that the way the bill was drafted, that if you text but didn't send, it may not be a violation. So we clarified that this last session and said, if you text, it's a violation. We also made it clear that if you're merely talking on your cell phone, if the cell phone rings, you pick it up and talk on it, that's not a violation. But if you start inputting things, and that's so you could be inputting on a cell phone, dialing a number, you'd be not really technically texting, but it would cover with the way we drafted the bill. Mm-hmm. So you can, it's like listening to the radio on your car. You can turn it on and listen to it. You can do it with a cell phone. And I think someday we're going to come to the point we're going to outlaw that as well. But you get a point, you take what victories you can.
The family is calling for tougher penalties. They want something called Tommy's Law passed. I don't know if that is a possibility in the next legislative session.
I think these are always struggled because there are some people who, well, let me put it this way, Tom. I've said that I could make a death penalty for crimes that people don't commit. But if I make parking, which many people do, and even including legislators, I make it tougher, then it's harder to pass because it relates to them. And texting was kind of that way when we dealt with the bill. You know, for example, I had a group of business come up to me and say, why don't you exempt us from the bill? Because it's so important that we text while we drive. And I said, nonsense. But you have to make that change. Seatbelt, I think, is a good example. When we passed the law requiring seatbelts for children and then for adults, there was a lot of resistance to it, not much compliance, but now I think you find the compliance is really pretty high.
Mm. We're talking about distracted driving, specifically this tragic accident. Vernal teenager Tommy Clark recently hit and killed while walking alongside the road. Police say the driver admits to texting at the time of the accident. And there's a lot of PSAs out there. Utah has one of the tougher laws in the nation. We're asking you and our guests what more can and should be done to prevent tragedies like this. And the number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495, or email at upraxcess@gmail.com, upraxcess@gmail.com. I think we do have a caller coming in. This is Scott in Vernal. Scott, go ahead with your question or comment.
Well, I live in the neighborhood that this boy lived in that was killed, and my child goes to the school right next to where he was run over. Well, this year the school district pulled the bus to that neighborhood on that road. And my wife and I got a petition going to get the school bus back because that road is obviously dangerous. Excuse me. And they denied us yesterday. They said, tough luck. So I thought that was a pretty important point to bring up, that
that a school bus there could help with safety.
Oh, they're expecting our children to walk down that road.
Mm-hmm.
First, I have a first grader that they said either drive him or he can walk.
What about that road? Maybe petitioning the city or the county to widen that or put a sidewalk in.
That's the next step. That's what we're going for. But I just thought it was pretty relevant that kids on the good portion of that road are getting run over. But the road that they're expecting us to walk down has about a 6-inch shoulder that they're expecting our children to walk down.
Yeah. So this just drives the point home even further for you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, David, thank you. We're glad you called.
Yeah, thanks.
And I wanted to give my other two guests a chance to interact with Senator Hilliard. Senator Hilliard, we're on with David Strayer, professor at University of Utah, and with Rob Reynolds with Focus Driven, Avix's group, which is seeking to eliminate cell phone use while driving. I wonder if either of you gentlemen have a question for the senator.
Well, I guess one of the questions I have, this is David Strayer, is we're starting to see this as an epidemic that doesn't just texting. There was a young college student who was killed about 6 months ago while she was updating Facebook. So I'm wondering to what extent there's a way to kind of become proactive and try and actually, I guess to some extent, ingrain some common sense through legislation in terms of our drivers so that they don't either cause damage and kill themselves or other people.
You know, I think I've found experience in the legislature. We can be busy in session debating and having issues, and I'll have an intern do a telephone survey out in the community where I represent and find out that maybe 25% even know we're in session. So when we pass laws and this, the important thing is not just do it on the legislative level and then hope and pray people will read and understand what we've done, because many don't unless it specifically applies to them. But I know UDOT, Utah Department of Transportation, has a video that they're showing to youth talking about Reggie Shaw, the young man up here that really triggered my interest in the texting and prompted me to carry the bill. And he and Judge Wilmore and victim advocates all talk about it. And that film, I understand, is being shown in high schools with drivers. And I think kids need to see that in kind of a direct way, because we all say, well, that could happen to somebody else, but it can never happen to me. And I've been texting now, or I just only need this one emergency. And I think if you saw that film that UDOT has put out, and I understand is being shown in high schools, it's a pretty impactful film. And I think that's the type of reminder we have to do over and over again, because like most youth, they never think they're going to die. They never think there's going to be an accident, never anything go wrong with their lives, and so they just merely go on their way. And you can scream and yell all you want at them about things. It has to be more directly to them, and I think this UDOT video is really a good one.
And I believe Senator Hilliard has to go pretty soon here. Rob Reynolds, there are, I imagine, a whole gamut of laws over the states. Utah's, at least in 2009, was one of the tougher in the nation. I don't know if that's still the case. I guess what I pose to you, what would you like to see done in Utah in terms of stricter penalties or new laws?
Well, I think, again, going back to the issue of comparative, to impaired driving. When we talk about impaired driving, we have to include all kinds of impairment. And again, we have a national tolerance for what we say is risky. Four times the risk, that's 0.08. So on a national level, I'd like to see that be in force for all types of impairment. And we know that what the impairment is on these issues. We've studied it. Dr. Strayer has been, in my point of view, has been one of those leaders who's been very outspoken. He's been very frank about how this affects a driver, and that I think needs to be taken to task. And one of the things I was thinking about when Senator Hilliard was talking about, and I think you brought it up in a question, is does enforcement work? We know that high visibility enforcement works. And the DOT trials that they did in Syracuse, New York, and I believe in New Jersey as well, where they looked at the laws and did high visibility enforcement there, it worked. It reduced the amount of distracted driving that was going on in those areas. Same thing is true in California. There was an article earlier this year about that. So we know that if we attack this issue in the same way that we've attacked drunk driving, high visibility enforcement, strong, strict penalties, and very clear defined laws, it does work. And we can save lives. It's just a matter about getting there. Talking about it's great, but we need to get there.
We do have another caller. I'll ask you, Senator, can you stay on another couple of minutes?
I can.
In case the call is directed specifically to you. This is Dennis in Vernal. Sounds like we've got some noise in the background. Dennis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, and go ahead.
I'm actually sitting on a location off on the side of the road. I was just listening to the conversation on the cell phone usage while driving, and lately I had an event where I was in California, and my phone rang while I was pulling up to a guard gate, and I picked it up, and I was pulled over to the side, in California, they do have a no cell phone law, period, which cost you a $300 ticket. Has Utah done anything about letting the people know, hey, this is what it's going to cost you if you get caught with a cell phone to your ear?
I don't know, Senator. What are the penalties with the texting and driving anyway?
We've traditionally had a very minor offense. It's called distracted driving. And that's what the argument was on texting, that it should be under that. But it's only what we call a Class C misdemeanor. That's less than running a stop sign or shoplifting. They're all Class B misdemeanors. And so the struggle is to make this step. And again, when we passed our bill, I remember people telling me that only Alaska had an anti-texting bill, and I know it even was written up in the New York Times that Utah's leadership in this area. I think we will continue to increase the coverage as people become more aware of the danger, but there's been some discussion about banning cell phones, been discussions about doing it for kids under the age of 18. We'll get there someday, but it's just going to take some time to get there.
Well, thanks, Senator. We'll let you go. I know you have to go. Appreciate you taking some time.
Thank you very much.
Senator Lyle Hilliard has been with us. Dennis, I don't know if that answered your question. You have additional comment? I don't know if we... let's go to our next caller. That'd be the thing to do. Mel in Laverkan. Mel, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Tom, and good morning to your guests. First, I want to offer condolences to the family of the young man that was hit by the automobile. It's a terrible thing. We have plenty of laws about texting while driving. I think personally the state of Utah was at fault this time for not suspending the license of the driver. According to the young lady that you opened the program with, this man has a driving record as long as your arm, and none of it's very pretty. This man has one more penalty for what he did to this young man. He has to live with that for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I have to say on this subject.
Thank you, Mel. Appreciate that. That it is tragic on both sides, is it not? I don't know if you, Rob Reynolds, you obviously lost your daughter, but the young lady, I think it was, in on the other side of that, has to live with that the rest of her life.
Oh, indeed, and we, you know, my wife and I made sure that we addressed that with her, that you know that it was understandably not what she was intending to do. However, yes, that is something you have to live with once it's occurred. And there are two sides to that. And part of it, I think, is how it's portrayed. I think we say one thing, but we do something else. And we are also, we're loading cars up now with infotainment systems. You know, that is part and parcel, part of the issue, because you have auto manufacturers and they're putting, Twitter, Facebook, Google searches, of course, voice to text and talking features, loading them up on touchscreen pads in your car. And, you know, kids see that, adults see that, they buy these new cars and they say, well, if it's in the car, it must be okay. And we need to get better at really bringing the truth forward and really saying that this is enabling distraction. It is in no way, shape, or form a safety device. It has nothing to do with the safe operation of a car. In every way, shape, or form, something like that is a distraction. It will cause crashes, and those crashes and sometimes will cause deaths. So for the people who are committing these things, I think part of the reason why there's complacency is because we really aren't strong enough in what we're saying, and that's part of the issue.
We're talking about distracted driving and responding, of course, to the tragic accident over the Labor Day weekend with Vernal teenager Tommy Clark being hit and killed while walking alongside the road. Police say the driver does admit to texting at the time of the accident. We're asking you and our guests, what more can and should be done to prevent tragedies like this? I mentioned at the top of the program that Professor Strayer and Mr. Reynolds and I were on with a similar program earlier in the year. Here we are on again, and I think a lot of us are wondering what can be done. We're talking about that, throwing that question out to you, and the number is 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. Or you can email us at upraccess@gmail.com. We're going to take a brief break, and we'll be back with Professor Strayer and Mr. Reynolds. We'll talk about some of the science behind this. A lot of us know this science, but we'll reiterate this and talk further on this subject following a brief break.
Regional correspondents on Utah Public Radio provide that unique link that makes UPR statewide news coverage your favorite resource for news. Hi, I'm Mackenzie Hamilton. Join me each evening during All Things Considered at 5:30 for expanded Utah news. UPR has a one-of-a-kind network with reporters from Southern Utah, the Uinta Basin, Moab, and Utah County. It's the only way of providing you with the views and news that you need to make informed decisions. Utah Public Radio, your favorite public radio station for statewide Utah news.
Thanks for listening to Access Utah. I'm Tom Williams. Distracted driving is our topic on the program today. A tragic accident out in Vernal over the Labor Day weekend. Vernal teenager Tommy Clark, who went to Vernal Junior High School, was hit and killed while walking alongside of the road. This was 5th West, about 1600 South, if you're from the Vernal area. Not a whole lot of shoulder there, but the two young men were off the road, and the driver admits he was texting at the time of the accident, hit and killed Tommy Clark. The family is saying that they want harsher penalties in Utah. Utah does have one of the tougher texting and driving laws. Not to have a law specifically against cell phone use, talking on cell phones. We're talking with Professor David Strayer from University of Utah, who's done extensive studies on this cell phone use and distracted driving and how that impairs us when we're driving. Rob Reynolds is with us as well, Executive Director of Focus Driven. He lost his daughter Katie to an accident involving a distracted driver. I believe their position of their organization is eliminating cell phone use totally while driving. We do, I believe, have a caller. And let's bring in our caller, Jake from Jensen. Thanks for calling, Jake. Go ahead.
Thanks, Tom. I'd like to make a comment in regards to the responsibility of pedestrians and bicyclists that use the roadways, and that is that when no sidewalks are provided, the responsibility of the pedestrian is to walk towards the oncoming traffic so that they can have visual as well as audio contact with that approaching vehicle. If we have our back to the traffic, we cannot see a sudden diversion by the driver of the vehicle. Now, I see it daily in the Vernal area where even adults are walking with their back toward the traffic and also riding their bicycles. And I put some responsibility on the pedestrians as well as the bicycle riders that use the roadway or the edge of the roadway. It's common sense to have your eyes towards the oncoming traffic so that you can get out of the way in a panic situation. Thank you.
Thanks, Jake. Appreciate that. And Jake called 1-800-826-1495. We'd love to have your comments on this. On the topic that we're throwing out to you, what can be done, what should be done to eliminate distracted driving, or just your general reaction to this tragic accident which killed Vernal teenager Tommy Clark in Vernal over the Labor Day weekend. 1-800-826-1495 or upraxcess@gmail.com, upraxcess@gmail.com. I wonder, Professor Strayer or Mr. Reynolds, any comment on that? I guess there is some responsibility if you're bicycling or if you're walking to make yourself visible and to do all you can.
Well, you're of course, I think the caller is correct that as a pedestrian, if you have the opportunity and it's safe to do so, walking so that you can see traffic oncoming is probably a safe call. And, of course, being visible is also a good idea. If you're riding a bicycle, however, that's not what the laws in Utah say, that if you're riding a bicycle, you're supposed to ride in the direction of traffic, not in opposition to it. So to some extent, in both cases, you want to be visible, but even in both those situations, a pedestrian is going to have a hard time getting out of the way of a vehicle that's going at any speed if they start to swerve off the road, whether they can see them or not. If you get someone who's texting, you know, they're just not at the wheel because their mind is somewhere else, and they're going and so I don't think anybody could really dart out of the road if someone is in a situation like that. It would be very difficult to do so.
And the greater responsibility, I think, is always going to be with the driver, is it not? Because you have the, 2,000-pound vehicle.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. When you get behind the wheel of a car, we take that for granted, and it's really kind of, you just realize that you're going at high speeds. If you hit a pedestrian, the car is going to have minor damage maybe, but the pedestrian is going to have potentially a life-threatening injury, and the same thing goes with motorcycles and bicycles. When you operate a car, you need to really be you have a responsibility and obligation to be able to maintain control of that vehicle, and taking your eyes off the road to send a text or take your mind off the road for one reason or another, really is not a responsible way to drive.
And I've, as I've mentioned before, this is my hometown, and I've been out there recently visiting. I've driven this stretch of road quite a few times. There isn't a whole lot of shoulder there, and if I put myself in the driver's position, it kind of scares you, because especially at night, I tend to drive not only defensively but kind of paranoid, because you got to really pay attention, because you don't want to be involved in something like this. So even I guess even more so a reason to put away your cell phone. Especially in situations like this.
Well, and I can tell you that when I talk to businesses or I talk to teens at school and we talk about this particular issue, part of what I discuss is a condition called inattention blindness, which Dr. Strayer is really adept at discussing and defining. And it's one of those things that you can drive into a situation where if you were driving, you would know there's danger there. For example, a red light. You're going to stop for a red light always. But there are times when you can just be talking on a telephone, and because your mind is considering the driving at that moment a secondary task instead of the primary task, because the conversation has taken a turn or it's very important to you, you can just totally omit the fact that there's a red light in front of you, and the car will keep going because that's what your mind is trying to do, keep the car moving forward. And we have this unspoken rule when we're driving that we're all going to maintain the laws. We're all going to stay on our side of a road. We're going to not drift over the shoulder. We're not going to drift over the center line. We're going to stop for red lights. All these rules, all that goes out the window, though, when you are doing something else, when you're simultasking, when you're trying to do more than just drive. And that's really what's at issue. It's not about being hyper or paranoid. It's really just about doing the job of driving when you're behind the wheel, and that's your primary task always. Nothing else should be superseding that.
We're talking about distracted driving in the program today. We have another 10 minutes left with this topic. If you'd like to give us your reaction to this tragic accident out in Vernal or distracted driving in general, we'd love to hear from you at 1-800-826-1495, 1-800-826-1495. We're asking specifically the question, what can and should be done? We have PSA announcements out there, and in some states, including Utah, fairly tough laws. What can be done so that we prevent things like this? 1-800-826-1495 or upraxcess@gmail.com, upraxcess@gmail.com. Dr. Strayer, I think an attitude that I've heard from people, and you do see, is, oh yes, I've seen those studies from Dr. Strayer and others, but I'm okay, I can do it, I can text, I can talk, and I can still pay attention.
Yeah, we've been really interested in that phenomena, this kind of the social reactions to that. A lot of times, in fact, actually, when we've done surveys, 70% of people think that they're better at multitasking, which is why you get this kind of a paradoxical effect of many people supporting the regulations and laws that have been put in place in Utah and throughout the United States in terms of restricting cell phone use. But then they still do it. The people who support the laws, the individual people who are surveyed, support the laws, but then also admit that they use their cell phone. When you press a little deeper, what you find is what they really want is the law to stop other people from driving and using their cell phone, and they want to continue to do it because they see them as not the problem. Problem is, if you just happen to survey the person who's driving behind that person, they're going to say, you know what, you're the person who almost ran me off the road. So as far as we can tell, there's not one person in the United States that we've been able to identify who can safely send a text message while driving. 100% of people are impaired. Mm-hmm. And if you think you're not, you're kidding yourself. There's an extremely small percentage of people who may be able to get away with talking a cell phone, but we're talking about 1 or 2%. The vast majority of people cannot. And even in those small situations where you might have a handful of people who might be able to do so, we can't say that they can do it in all circumstances. So bottom line is, whether we kind of think it applies to the other person, really, when we're behind the wheel of a car and we try and multitask, we're all impaired and we're putting ourselves, our families, and other people at risk.
Let's go to another caller, Chris in Mandaway. Chris, welcome to the program. Hello, Chris, are you there? I'm hearing some activity there. One more time. Chris in Mandaway, can you hear me? Okay, we somehow lost that connection. Chris, call back. Call 1-800-826-1495. Toll-free, you can call as well, 1-800-826-1495, or email to us at upraxcess@gmail.com. Professor Strayer, just to reiterate, I know we've heard this, but you're talking about even if we don't think we're impaired, we are impaired, and we're impaired in some of these cases to the point of a drunk driver.
Yeah, so I mean, the first studies that actually looked at crash data found that the odds of getting into a crash were about 4 times higher when people were talking on a cell phone, handheld or hands-free. And we've done studies where we look at the odds for getting into a crash when you're talking on a cell phone, and it's the same. We've even brought in people and one day had them drunk at a 0.08 level and then measured how well they drove and then in a driving simulator so it wouldn't cause harm on the roadway. But then we did the same thing on a different day where we measured how well they drove when they were talking on a cell phone, and we found that the impairments were very comparable. And, of course, if you're texting, it's even worse. I mean, you're at least twice as likely to be involved in a crash as someone who's driving drunk. And for people who are sometimes you'll hear people say, yeah, but someone like a commercial driver needs to be able to use their phone to do their business, and a truck driver, for example. And some of the estimates from the naturalistic studies suggest that in those situations, truck drivers may be as much as 23 times more impaired. That's just off the charts. Wow. So that's why when I say when we've looked to see if anybody can safely text and drive, the answer is no. It will eventually catch up with you. It's not a matter of if, but when.
We do have a caller, but I just wanted to reiterate another point that we've talked about before. hands-free cell phone, that doesn't help much, right? It's the fact of the conversation, not the fact that you're holding the cell phone.
Right. We break distraction down into cognitive, visual, and manual. And whether or not you're holding the phone or using a Bluetooth, you still have the cognitive or the mental distraction. It just simply doesn't seem to change. And so the impairments for handheld and hands-free cell phones are precisely the same. Of course, if you are sending a text, then you're going to have that added component of taking your eyes off the road and using your hand to send the text. Sometimes you see people trying to steer with their knees while they're trying to send a text message. And that just makes the crash risk all that much more likely.
Let's bring in John in St. George. Welcome to the program, John.
Thank you. I just wanted to comment on some of the things you've touched on. I don't know whether I moved here probably 6 or 7 years ago from Las Vegas, and I'm not a native of Las Vegas. I spent most of my life in San Francisco, but they have a strange law in Nevada relating to bicycles, and the law states that if a bicycle is traveling down the road, they own the whole lane. I mean, we're used to cycles being, given maybe 6 feet to travel in. But as long as they're going down the road, they own the whole lane. And we had an incident with our company where a driver hit someone and killed them. And that's how that came out. Now, going back to the passing the law on using the cell phone, I agree they're a distraction. But also things like this is not San Francisco. But you think of attorneys, for example, who are commuting to work, which may take them 2 hours to get to work, and they're stuck in traffic where they're moving maybe 5 miles an hour on the freeway. Well, if they can use the cell phone, because they can bill that time to the clients, and it's time well spent for them. So it's kind of a broad stroke. Maybe we should pay attention to the reality of Southern Utah. But I wanted to contribute that, and look for your response.
Okay, thank you, John. Appreciate the call. I wonder, Mr. Reynolds, there's an economic incentive sometimes to distracted driving, just like John said. You're going to make money, perhaps, by although it's pretty risky that way, making money that way.
Well, yeah, and let me just there's a couple of different issues there. I mean, Dr. Strayer was talking about the study he did where he brought people in and they were intoxicated and they drove a simulator, and then they came in and talking on a phone and did the same simulator test. A test like that, a lab type of a study, a clinical study, those types of studies are pretty patently ignored by say the DOT or NHTSA. Because they really rely on the naturalistic data, which doesn't measure at all the mental impairment of the driver. And so issues like that are not really considered when you're looking at laws and risk even, and which is why we have the proliferation of in-car infotainment systems. It kind of one begets the other. And in a situation like this, when we're talking about, you know, just the complicity, I guess you would say, in terms of what people want to do. I want to have my office in my car so that time is productive. Whether I'm a lawyer, I want to bill it, or if I'm a cell phone company, I want to see you use your phone more often because that equals more revenue. There is, you know, a whole economic subsystem below there, and those subsystems have lobby groups. The Auto Alliance is out there, the cell phone companies themselves, and they don't necessarily want to see these things change. And we, you know, kind of tag along with them and say, yeah, you know what, I like being able to use my phone when I drive, whether I'm checking my email at a light or I'm taking off and texting down the road or using my phone while I drive. Just because you want it or just because there's an economic subsystem doesn't mean that that's the right thing. And again, going back to drunk driving, I'm sure, you know, that there's parts of the alcohol industry that would say we'd love to have more of our products served more often, but that isn't necessarily good for people who are behind the wheel. If you're behind the wheel, and I would say this to an attorney, hey, if I killed your son today because I was talking on my phone and that caused that crash, are you going to get out and pat me on the shoulder and say, hey, look, I would still defend your right to use the phone every time you drive, even though this tragic thing happened? When it happens to you, you see the senseless, useless waste and tragedy of this whole thing. It doesn't have to happen. These are people who are compelled to drive a vehicle safely. And if they're not doing that to the exclusion of everything else, then they're really doing something wrong.
Just have a couple of – yeah, go ahead, Professor. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So there was the National Safety Council has been working on exactly that issue, and one of the things they did was work with one of the large pharmaceutical companies, Abbott Labs, who instituted a no cell phone policy for all their employees. And they found a 30% drop in accidents when they tracked this. They're very careful about looking at this. They were able to go back and say there was no loss in productivity of their employees when they were not using their cell phone and driving when they're driving. Because to be honest, you make bad decisions. Not only the driving is impaired, but your decision making while you're driving is impaired by the drive itself. And so basically, there really isn't the benefit that you tend to think, oh, I'm going to really be able to do some kind of business while I'm driving down the road. That simply just turns out not to be true. And then the last part is, if you get into a fender bender on that 5-mile-an-hour traffic and no one's injured, but you have to pull over and you basically gum up traffic, you may have gotten a teeny bit of a benefit, but everyone who's stuck behind you in that kind of traffic jam because you've gotten to a fender bender has lost productivity. So at the societal level, that argument doesn't work because basically an accident will, disadvantage everybody. And on an individual basis, the gains really aren't there. The scientific studies that have been done, National Safety Council has done a lot of work on that, really don't bear out that those are any kind of benefits associated with using a phone while you're driving. You just don't get that benefit.
I'm wondering, Mr. Reynolds, you probably have your finger on the pulse, probably Professor Stray as well. I'll direct this to you, Mr. Reynolds. How is this trending? Are you seeing attitudes change, laws getting tougher? Are you seeing progress on this?
I would say, if there was a meter, things are slanting towards what has been put out there in terms of the greatest amount of public awareness, which is texting. But not about the entire issue itself, which is cell phone distracted driving. And where I think that the first of all, we're not even there on texting and driving. There is no national standard. We just started putting money out this year. The government just started putting money out for next year, $17 million, which is just a completely too small of an amount. But for any state that has a primarily enforced law. Like in Nebraska, we have a texting and driving law, but it's a secondary law, so there would be none of that money available to us. And if you think about even every state wanting a piece of that, a state like California getting 1/50th of $17 million isn't going to really help them a lot. I think we're moving the meter in a very small way towards the right thing, but we need to have a better national standard, and we need to bring in all of the available research and stop taking a blind eye to the greatest amount of research that's out there that really labels this for what it is. It is impairment, and it's impairment at a level that we're already familiar with, and we know what to do with it. So it's not happening quick enough, and unfortunately, we're tripping over ourselves in terms of how we're approaching it. We're only looking at the worst of the worst. It's like saying that we should only look at people who are whiskey drunk, or 4 or 5 times what we consider the limit drunk right now, and then start backing off from there, and then we'll consider people at 0.08. That would be unconscionable to us. But for this issue, we seem complacent.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. We've been talking with David Strayer, University of Utah professor, and with Rob Reynolds, Executive Director of Focus Driven. The website is focusdriven.org. And for Professor Strayer's Applied Cognition Lab, probably easiest to go to utah.edu and type in Applied Cognition Lab. Professor Strayer and Mr. Reynolds, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And tomorrow, I'll be off. Lee Austin will be hosting, and we'll talk about good books to read as we go into fall. We'll have some bookshop owners with us. We'll be asking for your ideas on good reads. That's tomorrow's program. Thanks for listening today.